Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conlon, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. And just reminding you once again, reach out and respond. Give your gift today to Relevant Radio. Help us continue on in our work here at Practicing Catholic, helping you to keep up to date with everything going on in the Archdiocese. You can give through the Relevant Radio app, through online at relevantradio.com, or give us a call at 877-291-0123. Well, if you are indeed a practicing Catholic, I'm sure you have witnessed firsthand the power of prayer. Scripture and tradition tell us pretty plainly that our Heavenly Father hears our prayers and that He answers them, which is pretty amazing if you stop to think about it. When He does, things change, and they change for the better. Joining us now is Father Joseph Bamanek, the Assistant Director of the Synod, on the power of prayer, and most specifically on the difference prayer has made and will make as part of our Archdiocesan Synod. Welcome, Father Bamanek.
Hello, Patrick. Good to be with you here today.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. You know, before we get into the whole synod discussion and synod and prayer and that sort of thing, it occurs to me that maybe we need to hear just one more time. No, we need to hear a lot more times, I think. What has struck you about the power of prayer? What is the power of prayer? What is prayer all about, and what difference has prayer made in your life? If you can summarize that in just a couple minutes.
Prayer is the opportunity to be in communication with God, the God who loves us and the God who made us. That He wants to guide our life. He's a good father who wants to give His children good things, but He also wants us to be grateful, and He wants us to ask.
One
of the kind of the eye-openers for me was that as part of the synod process, we do something called Lectio Divina every day. And as we're reading through the results of the prayer and listening events from a year ago, before we started that day, we would actually start with the gospel passage of the day and just think about and just pray over it and share our thoughts. And, you know, someone made the comment, you know, what I'm really hearing from these last few days of the gospel passage is that God really wants us to ask Him. He really wants, because He wants to give us stuff, but He doesn't, just like any father doesn't just want their children to take Him for granted and just, you know, like, just provide, but He really wants us to ask. Mm-hmm. And so, that was just a powerful reminder for me in all of that. That's the intercessory prayer part of it. He also wants to guide our lives. I mean, I think it's safe to say that I wouldn't be a priest if it weren't for the time I spent in prayer and listening to God's voice. It's not something I would necessarily have chosen on my own, but it's by listening to God speaking to my heart, opening my eyes and my heart to, okay, this is kind of, Joe, how I made you. You know, these are the, you know, this is a combination of gifts I gave you. And some of these other options look kind of attractive, understandably so, but this is who you really are. I'm sure I wouldn't have figured that out on my own if I hadn't been asking God for the help in finding that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that prayer, of course, has made a difference. Well, certainly, as you just said, in your life, in my life, in the lives of many, I assume, of our listeners, too, that personal connection with God, that communication that we're establishing with our loving Heavenly Father. And that's so foundationally important. What are some of the differences, Father, between that individual prayer, that conversation that we have individually with our loving Heavenly Father, and when we come together as a local church and we pray corporately, whether that's at Mass or indeed in some of the lead up to the Synod and as part of the Synod process, what's so unique about communal prayer?
Because then it's not just us having a personal conversation, which is important, but it's a reminder that we're part of something bigger. You know, when Jesus, you know, Jesus' words that when two or three or more are gathered in my name, there am I. And that's a reminder that, yes, it's important to pray alone, but it's also important to pray with people. That there is something that comes through that when we're uniting ourselves in prayer with others rather than just being individualistic about it.
Right. Yeah. There's that, and I think you see that mirrored in our family experiences as well, right? There's the father-son conversation that happens behind perhaps a closed door, but then there's also around the family dinner table. There's a communal conversation that goes on there. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then praying has a way of then, you know, when we ask God for something, you know, then we're asking in concert with one another. And so it in itself, it kind of creates a unity And then, you know, as Catholics, we have the great benefit of the Eucharist, where Jesus becomes present as a result of our prayers, and as a result, in particular, the prayer of the priest. But when we gather at Mass, to allow ourselves to be ever more united as the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned the prayer and listening sessions. Now, I only attended one myself, but I got to say, Father, I was just so struck. I think in my mind I had built it up mainly as just a listening session where we're going to hear from a lot of different people and around the tables in small groups, and then a few representatives were expressing their ideas to Archbishop Hebda. But what I was so struck by was the amount of time, for one, and also the amount of effort that we were putting forth in prayer. How did that come about? How did the idea of this, saying, well, we'll just, instead of just saying, well, we have an opening prayer and then we'll get right into the listening part of hearing people's, both the things that they're impressed by and the things that they think need improvement in our archdiocese. How did it come about to think, okay, we're going to take a significant portion of this evening and devote it to prayer?
Yes, so I think that came about, I think very much on account of our Archbishop, and also on account of, okay, what is a synod more generally? You know, as the Archbishop would cite in his talk that he would begin during that starting point, was that, as Pope Francis says, there's no synod if there's no Holy Spirit there. And so, if we don't ask the Holy Spirit to be among us, if we're just trying to make this a political exercise, well, then there'll be human things that happen, but God, once again will respect our freedom and won't be in our hearts in the way that He wants to be in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so, most of the details of the synod are the fruit of the Archbishop's prayer and his own thinking about this. The synod has its genesis when he was the administrator here, even before he was named the permanent archbishop, when he had the sense that a synod would be what this archdiocese needed at this time in history. And then for a while, it wasn't really possible to act upon it. But then when it was finally able to do that, the very first thing he did was he formed a synod prayer team. So there were about 25 people that were praying for a number of months about, okay, is this, to pray for the success of it, but also to pray for his guidance in, okay, should I even go forward with this?
Yeah.
And so after about 5 or 6 months of prayer, he concluded that, yes, we should go forward with it. That synod prayer team has continued to pray. But then with that mindset of prayer being important, it's like, okay, so now we're going to have these events. They could be listening events, as you mentioned, or they could be prayer and listening events where we can invite the Holy Spirit in to help guide the discussion. Because ultimately, his purpose in this was to hear the Holy Spirit speaking through the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those of us who worked on the synod could just kind of see the dynamics of things change as, people were opening their hearts to the Holy Spirit instead of just coming in with whatever may have been on the top of their mind as they were walking the doors. Just really to be, there was a beautiful openness and people had powerful experiences in the prayer. Some people had never experienced the Lectio Divina type prayer, and then they commented just how beautiful that was and how it helped them to just enter into more deeply.
Right, and that's again just another great way that the synod is already working out so many positive effects and changes within our local church. If it's drawing more people into prayer, more and more people into prayer.
Exactly.
I'm also thinking about Father Bamenek. I'm also thinking about these sessions that are coming up monthly and praying for the synod. That there have been some of those already, and there's planned for more throughout the. Well, all the way up through May of next year, I see it on the calendar that we have monthly prayer sessions. Tell us a little bit about those.
Right. So as I mentioned, there was a prayer team that was formed, and that prayer team has continued on, throughout the whole process. And it kind of, last winter, it kind of became clear that maybe in this last year, it shouldn't just be us that was praying ourselves every month, but that we should invite others into the prayer. So basically, we're going to 12 parishes throughout the course of the year, different parts of the archdiocese, where there'll be a mass, a votive mass of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, there was someone who actually wrote in saying that really priests should be praying votive masses of the Holy Spirit for the synod. A votive mass of the Holy Spirit is just the certain mass prayer, part prayers that a priest can say on certain days. So we're we're going to the parish, and either the pastor or me, depending upon, you know, what the circumstance is, will offer the votive Mass of the Holy Spirit. It may be at a time in which they currently have a daily Mass, or it might be that we might be adding an evening Mass for that. And then afterwards, once Mass is done, there'll be an hour of adoration with this Lectio Divina that I talked about, where we'll reflect upon a passage of Scripture. We're kind of going through the Pentecost story itself right now. And then people have a chance to pray with it, and then the last 15 minutes is devoted to whatever people sharing what was on their hearts as part of their prayer time.
Yeah, wonderful. And just for our listeners' sake, I see from the calendar the next one coming up is going to be Sunday, September 5th at 11 a.m. at the Net Center in West St. Paul. You can find out all the information about these upcoming Pray for the Synod events at archspm.org/events. Well, Father, in our last couple minutes here, let's just look ahead briefly at the Synod small groups that are coming up this fall. What is the role of prayer in and around these small groups?
So once again, as we did with the prayer and listening events, each of the successions will basically start with the time of prayer. Now, it will be much shorter this time than at the prayer and listening events, but it will be the same type in the terms it will be a Lectio Divina prayer. So each of the six sessions will focus on particular aspects of Archbishop Hebda's three focus areas for the synod, and so passages from the Bible that are fitting to whatever the topic might be will be the passages that are prayed with, and so it'll be a prayer, then a few minutes of reflecting upon, okay, what did you hear as part of that scripture verse, and then with that, then we'll enter into the rest of the discussion for that evening.
Wonderful. Well, something founded on prayer, as much as the synod process has been and will continue to be, surely we are putting our best foot forward the more and more we focus in on listening to the voice of our Heavenly Father. Well, Father Bamedek, thank you so much for your continued work in the Archdiocesan Synod. Thanks for all that you're doing that we probably know very little about, but thank you anyway, and that the Synod process continues to move forward. We just got a blessing from Archbishop Hebda, but you know what? We are never averse to more blessings. So would you give us a blessing as well, Father?
All right. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, so we just thank you for each person who is listening today. We thank you for each person who's going to participate in the Synod process in the coming weeks and months. Please open our hearts to all the goodness that you desire for us. Just help us to let go of whatever it may be blocking your love for us, that we may shine your love into the world ever more brightly, and that we may share as part of the Synod process what's on our heart to help us as an archdiocese be able to move forward in greater unity and more vigorously proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Joseph Bamedek, we're so grateful for you. Thank you. God bless you. Keep up the good work.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. So again, if you want to keep up to date on everything that's going on with the Archdiocesan Synod, check out archspm.org/synod. Ton of great resources on there. And then check out also the Pray for the Synod events, which can be accessed at archspm.org/events. Well, we're going to head into our final break. When we return, Paul and I will have some ways to increase, your prayer life and your practice of the faith. Stay with us.